Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true, your message to us, inspired by your Holy Spirit. And so we pray now that the same Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to believe and to respond to your word by repenting of our sins and trusting in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I wonder what you consider to be your greatest need. Could be that you need money. Perhaps you're unemployed. Perhaps you come from a poor family. Could be that you need love. Perhaps you are very lonely. Could be that you need a purpose in life. These are all legitimate needs. But today we meet a man who has a very obvious need. He's paralyzed. He needs to walk. But Jesus says to him that he has a greater need even than his need for healing. Jesus says that this man has a need for forgiveness. And because Jesus is God, he has the power to do something about this. He has the power to forgive. The context of this chapter is that this is a section about the power of Jesus. He has power to heal because he is God. Now you know who this is. Have I got a picture? That's it. You know who this is? Who's this? It's Adolf Hitler. Did you know he got his ideas from this guy? Do you know who that is? That is Nietzsche, a next German philosopher in the 19th century, Friedrich Nietzsche. And Nietzsche was a great influence on Hitler. And what Nietzsche taught was that all human behavior could be summed up by the will to power. The will to power. In other words, we all want our own way. He said, the world itself is the will to power and nothing else. And you yourself are the will to power and nothing else. You are nothing but a will to power. We're always seeking to impose our will on other people. Even when we're helping them, says Nietzsche, that's an exercise of our will to power, because it makes them more dependent on us. Well, how different Jesus. Here we see him with great power, the very power of God. And yet, in the previous bit, he has compassion for a man with leprosy. He touches a man with leprosy. He has compassion on the paralyzed man and forgives his sin. I'm sure you've heard this quote from Lord Acton. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. Even the best people are corrupted. The Bible calls this sin. We're rebels against God. We disobey him. We seek our own way. And that is why Jesus sees right to the heart of the paralyzed man. Jesus sees that what this man needs primarily is the forgiveness of his sins. By contrast, Jesus has absolute power, and he's not corrupted by it. Jesus uses his power to serve supremely. He uses his power to go all the way to a cross, to die in our place. Power does not corrupt Jesus. He's wonderfully compassionate towards the man with leprosy in verses 12 to 15. A leper was literally untouchable. A leper was the personification of shame. Stephen Fry talks about the shame he felt for his own body. He says, to care about my body would be to suggest that I had a body worth caring for. Since my earliest years, I have felt nothing but shame for the useless casing of flesh I inhabit. It couldn't bat, bowl, or catch. It couldn't ski, dive, or leap. It had nothing to recommend it beyond its function as fuel cell for my brain. Perhaps we feel ashamed of our bodies. That's nothing compared to the shame a leper felt. And leprosy is a picture of sin. You know, we should feel ashamed of our sin. Sin separates us from God. It separates us from other people. It takes us to hell. We need to find a way to break free of the shame we feel for our bodies. We need to confront the shame we feel for our sin. Jesus teaches in this passage that forgiveness is our greatest need. It's the greatest thing he can do for us with his power. So three headings as we look at these verses. Jesus' power is clearly present. Jesus' power is sought. And Jesus' power is surprising. Firstly then, Jesus' power is clearly present. Verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Jesus' priority was to teach. He was prepared to heal, but he never allows his healing to obscure the fact that he's come to teach. He came to teach us the way to God. So here he is, teaching. And because he's so popular, the supposedly powerful men turn up to check Jesus out. A bystander would have said that the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, here were the men with the power. These were the men who could shut up Jesus, weren't they? But the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. Jesus has the power. Secondly, Jesus' power is sought. Verses 18 to 19. Nobody seeks out the power of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But they do seek out the power of Jesus. Something in the human heart understands that Jesus has the power and that we need that power. So verse 18, some men come carrying a paralytic on a mat and try to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. But when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. These men are serious about finding the power of Jesus. What are they expecting? They're expecting Jesus to use his power to heal the man. But thirdly, Jesus' power is surprising. Verses 20 to 26. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." What? That's not why they came. But Jesus knows the correct use of his power as God is to forgive sins. Why does he do this? Well, sin is like the leprosy in verses 12 to 15. Sin separates us from God. Sin is an offense to God. Sin means we have to go to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. Jesus knows what this man needs more than anything else is the forgiveness of his sins. Well, this doesn't go down very well with the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Verse 21. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They were right. God alone can forgive sins. If I punch you on the nose, only you can forgive me, because you're the one who's been hurt. You are the offended party. I can't go and ask some random stranger to forgive me for the thing I've done to you. I must ask your forgiveness. And it's like that with all sin. When we sin, we're breaking God's good law for his universe. God is the offended party. Only God can forgive sins. And for Jesus to forgive sin was to say, he is God. He has the power to forgive sin. If this is not true, then the religious leaders are right. This is blasphemy. To claim to be God when you're not God is blasphemy. A very great sin. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now look at verse 23. Jesus knew what they were thinking. That is power. That is the power of God. Jesus can read our minds. Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Here is the one with the real power, challenging the ones who think they have power. They don't have power. Human power in the presence of God is exposed for what it is. A cheap copy of the real thing. Verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Anybody can claim to be God. Anyone can say, your sins are forgiven. But not everyone can back that up with real power. Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus has the authority of God to forgive sins. Jesus has the power of God to forgive sins. And to demonstrate this, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. That is a word of power. My parents have two dogs. They're called Henry and Maisie. They're very cute. They're Bichon Frises, which means they're small with white curly hair. When they're clean, they look like lambs. And they're very nice dogs. But they're not the most obedient. Once they came to stay with us when we lived in the Elms on the Hitchin Road. And I tried to call Henry into the house. He took no notice. So I raised my voice. He took no notice. I raised my voice again. He took no notice. I bellowed at him. He took no notice. I went out into the garden. He took no notice. I chased him around the garden, which he thought was great fun. Eventually, I realised that my neighbour, Tony Bunker, who's a very senior lawyer in London, a director of Welsh National Opera, very senior man, my neighbour Tony was standing on the other side of the fence, killing himself laughing. My word was not a word of power. The dog took no notice of me. Jesus' word is a word of power. When he declares someone forgiven, they are forgiven. One of the reasons I resigned my Anglican curacy before the second ordination, the ordination to the priesthood, was because the bishop wanted to say to me, Chris, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I don't want that kind of power. That would not be a word of power. That would be hollow, powerless. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. If we want forgiveness, we must go to him. Jesus demonstrates that he has the power to forgive sins by healing the paralyzed man. He demonstrates that he is God by healing the paralyzed man. Verse 25, immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. The man understands that Jesus is God and that God has healed him. In fact, verse 26, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I wonder, is that how you feel in the presence of God tonight? In the presence of his word? Amazed? You want to praise God? You're filled with awe for him. Jesus is clearly present. He is present in his word, by his spirit. How will you respond to being in the presence of God's power? Jesus' power is sought. These men do the right thing. They seek out the power of Jesus. They understand that their friend needs the power of Jesus. Do you realize that you need the power of Jesus? You have a very great need. I have a very great need. But I've had that need met. I know that Jesus has died for me on the cross. I know that when he died there, he took the punishment for my sins. I know he took God's anger for my sin on himself. And I've asked Jesus to forgive me based on what he has done for me on the cross. Have you done that? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Saviour from hell for heaven? For a relationship with God, for a life of service to God. Have you asked for that? You need to do that. I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. We both have the same need. But many of us here tonight have found the answer, found the Saviour. And Jesus' power is surprising. It's so different. Remember how Hitler was influenced by Nietzsche? Just days before the end of the war, Hitler executed a German pastor called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was involved in a plot to oppose Hitler and even to kill him. It was a righteous cause. By this stage of the war, Hitler was already holed up in his bunker. There was no doubt he'd lost the war and that his own end was nigh. But so corrupted was Hitler that he was absolutely determined that Bonhoeffer should die. Hitler had to crush all his rivals. Human power is always like that. That's the way all dictators sustain themselves in power. If we read a biography of a British politician, it will be full of similar power struggles, not resulting in death, but more subtle, less extreme. Power still corrupts. How different Jesus, who uses his power to go to the cross, who uses his power to forgive sins. Is he your king? Is he your saviour? Has he forgiven you? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he has power to forgive sins and to save us from hell and to take us to heaven, because he used his power, not selfishly, but to go all the way to the cross, to die in our place, on the cross, for our forgiveness. Father, please would each one of us receive the forgiveness he offers and commit ourselves to living lives which honour and please him. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.